For our scripture today, we have two readings. The first reading comes from the wisdom literature of the Hebrew Bible. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and of the people. And our second reading today comes from Paul's letter to the congregation at Galatia. And his words 2,000 years ago ring just as true and vital to us today here in Wanakee. Basically, what Paul says is that the decisions that we make every day affect the trajectory of our lives and ultimately the disposition of our souls. Hear Paul. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Okay, last Sunday's scripture, Jesus told the woman at the end to go in peace. Go in peace, right? And we talked about what that could look like or how that could feel if we were people who made no wake, right? Or at least if we did not do something that intentionally put ripples onto another, unless they're positive ripples. Today we begin this four-part discussion of the fruit of the Spirit. And as we approach this text that Jim shared with us from Galatians, I want us to kind of start on equal footing. Some basics that we're all knowing at the same time. And my hope, my first one is that I hope that in studying the fruit of the Spirit, that I and you are better equipped to live like Jesus, so that we can grow like Jesus, and that we can offer ripples to others that would be congruent with the types of ripples that Jesus might offer. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God to the church. It's the part of God that I think of that moves us, that transforms us, that shapes us, that encourages us. Some believe that of the Trinity of God, that the Spirit is the part that helps build in us good characteristics. Jesus, like characteristics. That the fruit of the Spirit that we hear about in this book of Galatians, which is not a book about Jesus, right? Because the first four books of the New Testament are about Jesus, right? When Jesus lived, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But this book, written by Paul as a follower of Jesus, as a follower of Christ, who he writes to people of the church in response to a crisis, he wrote them this letter. And in this letter, he's hoping to help people understand that you're not justified by your works, the things that you do, or even your obedience to the Mosaic law, but that if you follow Christ's teaching, then you're doing it right. The fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians is not many fruits, but one fruit. One fruit with nine attributes listed. They're all part of the same fruit. Can be very confusing, especially since in the very next book of our Bible, the other letter that Paul wrote, this time to we call it Ephesians, right? The people, in that letter, Paul is reminding the church that not everyone has the same gifts, that there's many gifts but one Spirit. Yeah, you know that song, right? Yeah, and that in order for us to unify as the church, we must each use the gifts for which we've been given. In there it says, some will be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and others teachers, but all are to speak truth in love, and we must group in every way unto Jesus and point to Jesus the Christ. So that's the letter he wrote to the Ephesians about unity and using your gifts. But here, in this book of Galatians, we're reminded that the Holy Spirit offers us a gift, the fruit of the Spirit. And of that fruit, there are many attributes. The fruit of the Spirit is like taking a bite of a really good dessert, right? And in one bite, you might get, the sweetness. But then in the next bite, maybe a little tart, right? Yeah, that one blessing has many parts. A few weeks ago, I made a mistake, and I like to correct my mistakes. I shared with you that there's a line that gets stuck in my head and that it was from Sesame Street. I was wrong. It's from Daniel Tiger. Yes, Daniel Tiger, in that episode, it says, you can be more than one thing. Yeah. So for those of you who were the Sesame Street era and couldn't figure that out, I apologize. It's in Daniel Tiger, because in that episode, they're trying to help the characters understand that like this woman who's their doctor could also be a mom, right? It's like us understanding that the baker could also be a firefighter, and that volunteer who reads stories to us in our classroom and is also maybe someone's son or daughter, that we're not just one attribute. The same is true of the fruit of the Spirit, that one person who lives with the hope of loving like Jesus and mirroring God's creation in beautiful ways, in the ways that God has made us, that in that mirror, we should see all of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So today we start with love and faithfulness. And yes, that other little gets stuck in my head, right? Love and marriage. I know, right? Because so often we pair these together. Love and faithfulness, we often pair together in the idea of a good relationship. Love is this idea of not being selfish, but displaying acts of love, being in a way that exemplifies love. And it says in the Bible that love is both a command and a choice. That we love God, the God of the Old Testament, the one that first makes this request of people, the one that created us. Jesus says, the most important thing, it's found in Matthew 22:37. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Then, after we love God, then we're to love our neighbor. Right? And don't get hung up like the Pharisees did in saying, who's my neighbor? Right? Yeah, you can get nitpicky if you want on that word, but that's not what Jesus does. And in Matthew 22:39, Jesus continues and says, the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor. We need to develop love in our lives so that we can be an accurate reflection of God's love for the world. Just as plants in a garden grow best with tender nurturing and watering, so we will grow best with nurturing and watering, putting into practice and learning more about the attributes that the Holy Spirit offers to us. Practice love. Practice faithfulness, loyalty. We can do that by surrounding ourselves in God's Word, right? By reading, discussing, and trying to figure out the Bible, right? By looking through the words of the Bible, maybe by sharing them with others, by surrounding us with people who know and love God. Maybe then we'll fall even in greater love with God and God's people, or learn more things about love. You know, love is complicated. Maybe that's the greatest truth. Love is complicated, right? But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writes about love, and he writes it in a way that invites us to think that love is like the wrapper, right, or the skin of the fruit. It's the encasement that holds together all the other attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always hopes, and always perseveres. That sounds like faithfulness. Paul says, love never fails. Friends, we're invited to live out love. And I believe that if you live out love, you will find peace. If we choose to meditate on God's love for ourselves through Christ Jesus, if we choose to forgive each other in love, if we choose to seek and share love with others, we will live more like Jesus. If we compare love and faithfulness, like they ask us to do in marriage prep class, right? Yeah, if we could do that with that same intention and excitement, that we could use that combination for any part of our life, that if we could look at love through the lens of faithfulness, I think that we will be God's people. That we will live in a way that people will come to know Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? If we could care for our relationship with God as carefully as we care for our relationship with others. And if you don't do either of those well, now's a great time to start. Faith is the root of the word faithfulness. It's to completely trust or to have confidence in someone or something. According to Merriam-Webster, as it relates to God, it's also to have a strong belief even in the absence of proof. But what is faithfulness to us, and how do we live that out? How do we understand that part of the fruit of the Spirit that is within us? I'd like to think of faithfulness as a tool to grow our character. That if we hold fast to the promises that God has given to us, if we cling tightly to that relationship in which God offers to us and in which we accept or is accepted on our behalf through baptism, the same relationship that we sometimes confirm our faith in, if we cling tightly to that relationship, that faithfulness, that when God reached out God's hand to us, that God never took it back. Not ever. We might have retracted, but that God never let go. If we live in such a way that we can also try to display that type of faithfulness, that we will never let go of God, I think that will help us to restore relationships here on earth. It'll help us to teach, to live, and to follow Christ's teaching, Christ's life, death, and resurrection on our behalf. I think that being faithful means having integrity, being trustworthy, putting our priorities in line with and sticking to them. The follow-through part is how I see faithfulness. It's the stick-to-itness. Love and faithfulness, the first of our two attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Two keys to a good earthly relationship and two keys to a good godly one, too. Knowing and accepting that you are loved by God and by us. Knowing that you are one who's been entrusted with the fruit of the Spirit, so that you may be empowered to grow in God's love. I pray that you may be watered sufficiently and fed in such a way that your likeness reflects the fruit of the Spirit. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.